listening to the Work Your Wealth podcast, where author, financial planner, and money guru, Mary Beth Storjahan, is teaching you how to make smarter choices with your money. Featuring expert interviews with leading authors, business owners, and professionals, Work Your Wealth will give you the education, confidence, and clarity around your finances that you deserve. If you're ready to use your money to live a life you love, this show is for you.
Hey there, welcome back to the Work Your Wealth podcast and another Work Your Wealth Wednesday. I'm your host, Mary Beth Storjahan, certified financial planner and founder of Workable Wealth and author of the book, Work Your Wealth. I use that a lot. Today's Work Your Wealth Wednesday is going to cover two topics that are really important and come up a lot in my line of business. The first question that I get a lot is, investing is complicated. It sounds scary. I don't want to do it, but I know I need to. So where can I get started with investing on my own? So the first thing you need to lock down when it comes to investing is your reasoning for doing it. Are you doing it because you feel like you have to? Or are you doing it because you want to fund a nest egg for your retirement? Are you trying to save for your kids' education? Are you trying to create wealth that's going to last for your family for generations? Having a clear reason about why you're doing investing, why you're getting started with it, is going to help you to determine what exactly it is that you need to invest in, what your timeline is, and then how much money you're going to need. So when it comes to investing, you want to have what is called a diverse portfolio. Your portfolio is actually what's comprised of all of those investments. So having a diverse, basically, bucket of investments of national and international companies, small and large firms, that's going to be what gives you a diverse portfolio. And when it comes to looking at where to invest, some companies are going to give you more growth opportunity, while others are going to yield a type of income for you. So some are going to grow in value and some are going to pay you what's called a dividend. They're going to kick back income that's going to come back into your portfolio. So having a solid mix of income and growth companies is really important when it comes to your investment strategy. Most people hear about the stock market in terms of big companies. We're thinking like Apple, Google, General Motors, Facebook. But a better way to gauge the overall economy is through indexes such as the Dow Jones Industrial Average or the S&P 500. These are indexes that act as holistic snapshots of the stock market. And you want to avoid focusing on individual companies and instead focus on these indexes. But again, even these indexes don't represent the full breadth of where you should be invested in terms of your portfolio. So when it comes to any investment related information, learning the basics is what's going to make everything else easier to understand. So instead of trying to invest all of your money in the next hot stock, which again, a lot of people come to me and want to know what the next hot stock is. And I usually say you're better off going to Vegas, because if I knew the next hot stocks, I would not be where I am today, and I would have a very different lifestyle. But so instead of doing the next hot stocks, you're going to look to something that's called mutual funds or exchange traded funds, also known as ETFs, or what you'll see sometimes when you're reading about investments. Once you have a basic knowledge of the stock market, the investments that you want to make as a newbie are going to be into mutual funds and exchange traded funds, which are basically baskets that hold a variety of different funds. So for example, one share in a mutual fund can guarantee you more diversity than in a single share of Apple. And that inherent diversity makes it a perfect choice for a new investor. So by buying a mutual fund or an ETF that holds shares in a variety of companies, you lower the chances that the market's downturns will affect you too much. Plus, the big thing about purchasing a mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund is that a lot of these funds have low fees, so you won't lose a huge chunk of your earnings. You want to basically invest in a mutual fund or exchange-traded fund, and you can find these funds that have a variety of different strategies. So you can actually find an S&P 500 index exchange-traded fund. You can invest specifically in the S&P 500 if you wanted to through an ETF. Some of my favorite investment company, Vanguard Funds, Vanguard Mutual Funds, Vanguard Exchange Traded Funds are my favorite. They have really low fees. They're fantastic. A great company to check out if you're just getting started. By investing, though, in funds that have low fees, again, you're able to keep a higher amount of their earnings and your profits versus paying out to a fund manager. A lot of people don't know to look at these expense ratios. I use a website called Morningstar. You can actually type in the ticker symbol, which is either going to be the five or you know, three letters that make up the fund's symbol that you're going to purchase and sell or trade. When you look up that fund on Morningstar, you can typically see the expense ratio. And what you want to do is you want to find a fund that's going to charge you 1% or less in fees. Anything higher is pretty questionable. And when it comes to something like your retirement account, so for your 401k, the thing with that is those are typically offered by your employer, and you're limited to the investments available within the plan. So when you're looking at the investments available within the plan, there's going to be things like a target date fund, which is going to automatically invest the portfolio for you based on your time frame to retirement. And you're also going to have a handful of other investments options. You want to try to dig in, if possible, to understand the fees that are associated with those funds within your portfolio. It's a great question to ask your HR department to determine, or if you have a contact for your company's 401k plan, reach out to them to make sure that you understand the expense ratios associated with the funds within your company's 401k. This may or may not be something that I had my husband email his HR department on early on in his new job. And then, so you're going to have the whatever's offered to you from your company's 401k plan. And then if you're opening your own retirement plan, you can, which would be like an IRA, a Roth IRA, a SEP IRA, a solo 401k. If you're doing your own investments, you can open an account basically across the board anywhere. You can use, there's Charles Schwab, Fidelity. You can open directly at Vanguard. There's Betterment. There is Scottrade is now owned by TD Ameritrade, I believe, but there's E-Trade. There's a lot of different options out there. So doing your research online, picking a company that you think fits for you, and then opening your account there will be a great first start. Then when it comes to actually choosing the funds that you need, keep in mind that you can choose funds that are conservative, moderate, or aggressive, which basically means you're taking more or less risk. If a conservative fund is less risky, but typically capped for the growth potential. Aggressive is going to be more growth potential, but also more downside potential as well. So you want to keep in mind, conservative funds, for example, might be good for seniors getting ready for retirement, while aggressive funds are going to be better for younger people. We have decades to save and wait, and so we can ride out the volatility, which is the ups and downs in our portfolio over time. So some people choose to invest more aggressively or conservatively than the norm. Older people whose risk tolerance is low, you might stick to something like a conservative portfolio of like fixed income, again, less volatility. But young people who want to grow their assets will choose funds that invest more in stocks. The biggest thing is to be rational and calm when it comes to your investments. Too many people let their emotions dictate their financial decisions and, you know, try to jump into the market when the market is up or try to sell when the market is down. However, if you're creating an investment strategy that is appropriately diversified for the long term and for your goals, there's no reason to be trading in and out of the market. Slow and steady wins the race when it comes to your investment. So a lot of the times, if you're picking a diversified fund, if you're working with a professional to help you educate yourself to create a portfolio that meets your needs, you want to reach out to them if you have questions. But you just want to make sure that when you're getting started with an investment, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. This is a long-term strategy that you want to make sure that you feel comfortable off the bat with how your money's invested, picking, you know, again, a diversified mutual fund or exchange-traded fund, picking a handful of them to build your portfolio, creating your allocation, buying it, and then basically checking in every 6 to 12 months. There's no need to, again, be focused on what the media is hyping up at this point in time. As I'm recording this, the Dow Jones is at all near highs and people are, you know, hyping that up all over the place. There's no reason to change the course, however. If things are at highs and you aren't retiring for 30 years, fantastic. Stay the course, keep doing your investment strategy, keep adding money to your savings and retirement accounts on an ongoing basis. Just keep doing what you're doing. When you're a new investor, the key is to start small and think big. You don't want to throw your life savings into the stock market right away. The big thing is taking time to learn the process and monitoring how your funds are performing. And then once you've mastered the basics, you can start building towards a financial future that you're looking forward to. That's when investing starts to get really fun. So the big thing is to not think of it as one big task to tackle all at once, as is the same with all of your other financial goals, but instead to start small. Start small by, you know, doing some research on what a simple mutual fund or exchange traded fund is if you're not sure. Look into what a stock or a bond might be. And then from there, pick a company to open your retirement account with. From there, determine how much you have to invest or that you're willing to put into it. Transfer that amount in, make a transaction, and then go from there, one step at a time. Don't try to take it all on at once or think that you need to have everything under your belt and taken care of. This is, again, a financial journey and not a race. So that covers the first question for today when it comes to investments and where to start. The second question that comes up a lot with clients and readers is prioritizing of savings. Should I pay for my kids' college education or should I be paying towards my own retirement? Which one do I do first? Or like other goals, do I do them both at the same time? This one is a struggle. I know a lot of my clients and a lot of readers feel very passionately about providing education for your children. Some of your own parents paid for you to go through college, or sometimes you paid your own way through college and you want your kids to do the same, or you don't want your kids to have to go through the student loan struggle that you're going through. There's a lot of passion when it comes to this topic of what should we do first. And as a parent, of course, we all want to provide for our children. We want them to have access to higher education. And so, of course, funding college is important. But we also know that we need to take care of ourselves and our own financial futures as well. We need to save for our own retirement. There's an argument across the board that basically says we need to put our own retirement first. According to a 2014 study by T. Rowe Price on family finances, 52% of parents believed that it was more important to save for their kids' college rather than funding their own needs. While the other 48% of respondents basically says you actually need to put your retirement savings first if you have to choose. And they are right. When it comes to providing for our future and saving for our children's college education, the biggest thing is if we are delaying saving for our retirement by putting money into a college fund for them, so we're reducing what we're saving and putting aside for ourselves, we're not maxing out our own retirements, we're not looking to provide for ourselves and instead looking to our future, that will be great. Our kids will go through college, you know, and possibly have some money there and not need to take out student loans. But then when it comes time for our retirement, we're not going to be able to depend on loans. We're going to have underfunded our own retirement. We're not going to have enough to support our lifestyles, our health issues, any of those other things. And then from there, we're going to have to lean back on our kids to support us. So the big thing, if you notice that cycle, even if you're helping your kids pay their way through college and then you have to count on them later on in life to support you because you haven't been able to properly fund your retirement, it really defeats the whole purpose of you have even helping them with college in the first place. So when it does come to retirement versus college savings, if you're not setting aside for your own future first, you need to. Nobody is going to give you a loan for your retirement, but your children are going to have access to student loans, to scholarship options, to federal aid if necessary too in some areas. So it's really important to make sure that you put on your own life vest first. So what that means is you want to make sure that you're maxing out 401ks, you're maxing out Roth IRAs, you're doing some planning around, okay, when do I want to retire? What does my lifestyle look like? How much do I need to have set aside? And am I setting aside enough on an annual basis to get there? And if you are, if you're setting aside enough for yourself, fantastic. Then it's time to open a college savings account for your child and start stashing away towards that goal. But only once you've met your retirement funding needs. Another thing that some clients do, I will say, is I follow a do what you can. You need to always max out your own retirement first. But if you're looking to your budget and you can find an extra $25 or $50 a month that you can cut back on spending and find that free money for your child's college education, and that makes you feel better knowing that you're saving a big chunk for retirement and doing a little something for your child, look to do that. Look to set up a college funding account for your child and aim to set aside $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. Get started there, but make sure you're doing a big bulk of the savings, if not all of the savings, towards your retirement first to make sure that you are set up there. It's tough. It's an emotional topic. But if you're looking to your future in your own family, you, again, want to make sure that you're taking care of yourselves and not becoming a burden on your children at a later point in time. So that's it for today's Work Your Wealth Wednesday. I hope these tips were helpful and impactful in your life. Be sure to tune in next week for more tips. We're going to make sure to cover business and personal stuff in the weeks to come. We're going to hop around. There's lots of fun topics around taxes and retirement and, you know, working with your partner around money and teaching your kids about money, starting a business, all of that fun stuff. So I'm excited to dig in the weeks ahead. Thanks for tuning in to Work Your Wealth. If you enjoyed today's episode, I'd love if you could take 2 minutes to head over to iTunes to leave a quick review and rating for the Work Your Wealth podcast and share your thoughts on the show.
Thanks for listening to Work Your Wealth. Ready to continue your financial education? Head over to www.workablewealth.com to download 9 Steps to Workable Wealth, a free guide that gives you some of the best insider tips on living your richest life.